Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Every morning, Darren Armstrong talks Big Brother, looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from Vito to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for July 5th. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and with me today, it's Pooya. How you doing, Pooya?
I'm doing good, Taryn. I was excited coming here. I thought there'd be a slip and slide. Apparently not, but there's a lot of stuff we can talk about that are just slipping and sliding all over that house like a frenzy.
Yeah. We are here to talk about everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother 21 live feeds. It was day 16 in the house, and we unfortunately have to start off here, I think, with some clarification, because the internet has been running rampant with speculation and hearing things, I guess. So we have to address this. It was a very controversial thing that happened yesterday on the feeds. One thing that happened here is that Jackson was spoken to in the diary room about a comment that he made, or comments that he made in the house, especially in regards to, I imagine, David. Most people, I believe, are thinking this is the, he said something about mule kicking Dave. I don't even know
mule
what
kicking
that
in the teeth
means. I guess mules kick people. And then I don't know, maybe they mentioned the running a train comment as well. Who knows? But he was spoken to in the diary room about it, saying, you know, don't do that. And he was very upset throughout most of the day. He was crying. He said he couldn't talk about it. But basically what he said in various different conversations was, I effed up. I can't talk about it. I'll find out in 84 days. Later goes on to say that the internet is spinning this into a race thing. Jack told him, what you said wasn't even that bad, bro. We also, you know, because this was happening, Jack had previously been spoken to, I think almost even last week, he now reveals the Stompy Mudhole comment that they told him, don't do that. And Jack's reaction, as opposed to Jackson's, which was like, oh, I effed up, was they took it out of context. I was quoting Sam. They don't know. The fans, the real fans, will know what I was doing there. They'll understand. I can't let that impact me or anything like that. You know, I'm just going to do me.
Yeah, just the in joke with me and all the fans and the feedsters. They got it. It's all I'm good. At the very least, what I can say is Jackson looked like he was feeling remorse.
Yes.
Looked like, keyword being looked like. There are moments where I'm like, oh, I feel like you get it now. But then there are moments where I'm like, oh, you hell no, you didn't get anything. We'll dive into all this nonsense.
Yeah. I mean, he later still goes on to say, like, I really hate that guy. Certainly, you know, there was no like apology or anything of that, but he at least showed remorse, which is better than Jack.
Right.
So there's that. There's so on top of this, There was another moment on the feeds that that some people caught that made it sound like Jack and Jackson or Jackson said the N-word. And so the clip was circling around the internet, and I will tell you my experience with it. I heard about it. I was like, oh boy. I listened to it. I was like, wait, what was it? I didn't catch it. I listened to it again. I was like, still not. And then I read the transcript of what people thought it was, and I listened to it again. I was like, oh, I think maybe I heard that. That's not good. But it was like, it was very, very muffled, very difficult to tell what was going on in that audio clip. And I edit audio for a living. I have professional audio monitoring equipment. I was like, this is not nearly clear enough for me to know for sure what's being said here. I can't tell what's being said at all. So I went to you flash back on BB Viewer to the actual time. The audio is much more clear in that one. I listened to it. Guys, literally for a half hour the first time, and then as people were continuing to be like, no, I definitely heard it, I double checked and I 10 times checked. I lost a lot of sleep over this, guys. All I can do is tell you what I believe, because I believe fully 100% in what I was able to transcribe here. I believe 100% with as much certainty as I can possibly have that the word was not said. It does kind of sound like it was said in certain versions of the clip. If you are trying to find it, I can understand why some people might have heard it, but what was ultimately said here was, and look, When I'm saying this, I am not like that does not excuse any of their behavior. No. It is not meant to be a defense to them in any way. Just trying to figure out if this was said or not. Jackson, because they're being douches in this conversation, and I had to listen. Look, the look on Jackson's face, the look of glee that he has as he's like, I'm gonna stack up those dishes because he hates dirty dishes. He's like so excited about it. I literally listened and watched that clip like 100 times, and I was very, very annoyed that I had to. So Jackson says, I'm gonna beat him at his own game. He hates dirty dishes. Guess what? I'm gonna pile that sink up. He's gonna pee on the sink and people notice it. I'm gonna something or other. It gets you can't tell.
It's muffly.
He says little things here and there. He's going to be doing little things here and there to annoy David. And then he says, I'm not going to let him get under my skin. I'm going to F with him. While he's saying I'm going to F with him, Jack interjects with a you're good, bro. In response to, I'm not going to let him get under my skin, Jack says, you're good, bro. The combination of the two makes it sound like something else is being said. But it is very much two different people talking at the same time. You couldn't tell that in the initial clip that I listened to. But when I went back and I flashed back, it was very clearly two different people speaking. And those were the things being said. After that, Jackson continues to go on like F's with him. I work him from the inside out. Jack says he won't last. Jackson says no. Again, all I can do is tell you that from my experience, this is something that happens a lot, actually. Like, things can really be interpreted as being said when they weren't, especially when two different voices are combining into one, especially when the audio quality isn't quite there. And I understand that, like, some people heard it. They're going to say, look, I heard it with my own ears. You cannot tell me any different. And I won't tell you any different. Like, I can tell you what I heard, and I can tell you what I fully believe to be the truth. But I will not tell you to disregard your own senses. All I will say is that, if you have only heard the clip, I heavily recommend that you flash back on the feeds themselves. I suggest that you plug in your most expensive headphones with the most neutral response that is available. Don't try messing with the audio because that can lead to bad things. Just turn it all the way up to 100 and then listen to it over and over. Listen to it with your interpretation of what you initially thought it was. Listen to it with the transcript that I just described to you. And if you still believe that that what they're saying is in fact the N-word, then, you know, again, that is fully your right to believe that, but at least then you will have heard the it for yourself as much as you possibly could. The timestamp is 11:23 a.m. on camera one. So this, it's not the position I want to be in.
No.
To be like, oh yeah, these guys I hate. Don't be that hard. Look, I don't like these people. I've been very clear about that. I've been very vocal opponents to them and critics of them. But again, all I can do is I can't ignore the situation. And if I can't ignore the situation, then I also can't lie about what I truly believe was said there. So I'm sorry if you heard something different, but that I fully believe that that I've got this one right.
Yeah, no, definitely. And the may or may not of it all will go as a debate for a while now. But what I will say is that there was a one point in the show on the feeds last night where Kat was like, you know, you're probably fine as long as you don't say a slur. And this kind of, if this was what he said, well, he definitely said that. But I will also say, I want to say that whether or not it was said, he's still a bag of crap for what he's saying.
Yes.
The charged conversation that we're leading into whether or not he said it really is horrible already, whether or not he said that.
And that's one of the reasons why it's like, it's frustrating that I'm like, no, he didn't say it. Cause like that makes it seem like, oh, well he's cleared then. It's like,
right,
the conversation itself was still bad. And also, I forgot to mention like those things that I mentioned earlier when like Jack tells him it wasn't that bad. Like if they had been saying it, I feel like Jack wouldn't have said, I feel like even Jack understands that can't be taken out of context and will not be understood. And Jackson also says that the internet is spinning this into a race thing. If that was what he said, then there's no spinning it into a race thing. It's very much a race thing. And I think he would understand that. So right. I think a lot of other circumstantial evidence also points to this not being it. But yes, this does, of course, not absolve them of anything else that is going on here.
Yeah, no, they're absolutely, absolutely poor behavior, poor decisions, poor thoughts. The idea that grown ass people are thinking about, hey, let's just mountain a bunch of dirty sinks dirty dishes in the sink to piss someone off. And my favorite part is I'm not going to let them get under my skin. Bro, you are clearly so pressed that you want to just waste dishes. You just want a mountain of dishes. Like he is so far under your skin, you can't even see it at this point.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So with that out of the way, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. And unfortunately, there's not even a ton of game to update you on here in this update. But it's really just people hanging out at this point. We do have some cat stuff though.
Oh, cat.
All right. So, started the day off with some Cliff. That Cliff was talking to he was doing some Cliff notes. David came in. He talked to David a little bit, and then he's going to talk to Jack a little bit later on. And Cliff, not a fan of David. Not a fan of David. Which Cliff, you were doing so well. David is very much doing a little bit of the rat game here. He is, he's going to Jack and he's like, oh, David was talking to me. And he was telling me that, you know, that he was, that he didn't like your speech and that he's talking crap about you, Jack. Jack was like, oh my God, really? Thank you for telling me this, Cliff. Because again, David is very much just like the boogeyman here. He's the new guy, and he's the devil. He's doing terrible things. Every little thing he does has an ulterior motive.
Yeah, no, I feel like a lot of these people kind of equal them to. So when you invite, let's say you invite four friends over, Taryn, for like a hang. Okay, there's four of your good friends. They bring one person that you've met like once. like for like 3 minutes when everyone was saying goodbye. He comes in and now he's behaving in your house like everyone else is behaving because everyone's your close friend. Feet on the table, chilling, asking you for a beverage. And they're like, wait, we're not like that yet. And I feel like that's how they're behaving. Like, he was only here 3 hours, so he can't be as chill as us. He can't just be having these conversations we've been having. But they feel like they've earned a badge that he hasn't yet. So a lot of them are looking at him with these lenses. And this is not even talking about the people who have these other issues with him. God knows what reasons are so mad at him. But this is like something I see with Cliff where he's kind of like, you know, I woke up in the morning, I'd sit down, I'd do my Cliff Notes. And now David's here in my turf in the morning where I do my Cliff Notes. That's not cool. Like, it's kind of like, that's how I feel. It's like, give it a week and those people will be like, okay, now he's one of us or now he's earned his keep. I don't know what they think, but essentially that's how the vibe I'm getting from them with David towards
yeah.
David.
And I will say that obviously with certain people, there are other, you know, things that are happening here, that there's a level of vitriol that exists, beyond just like, hey, you're the new guy. But I think with other people, that this is very much just like a new guy thing, that, and we've seen this phenomenon happen on the show before. In Big Brother 14, there weren't new people added, but when the coaches entered the game, there was an insane level of vitriol leveled toward them, because hey, get out of our game. You guys played before. You were not part of this game for the last 4 weeks. Get out of here. We don't want you here. And we eventually see a lot of that anger directed toward Dan at the end of that game. And we've seen it in Big Brother Canada as well. When somebody comes into the game late, they are often ostracized. They are theorized about. Every little thing they do is critiqued and watched with a careful eye. Corey, just this last season, she was some kind of like FBI agent, or no, that's not right. Canadians aren't FBI agents. She was some sort RCMP. Of Olympic athlete, at least, some sort of secret agent, some sort of, secret whatever. And, you know, every time she tried to join a conversation, it was like, oh, what are you doing here? Why is she thinking that she can be in our conversations? And so that is definitely an aspect of this, which of course is not to detract from the other stuff that we have been talking about and that has been addressed already, which is I think largely from the Jack and Jackson point of view here. So lots of different reasons that are coalescing against David here. I do still hold out hope that that he will be able to sort of fit in. It's awkward. It's awkward as well. That there are some awkward interactions that David's going to have that are kind of funny.
Yeah. Because David's also coming in. He literally was there 3 hours. So he's getting his footing in. He's asking a bunch of questions, which I feel like any of us in his position would be like, curious. Like, what has been going on since I've been gone? Like, give me all the deets. Give me all the goss. Like, I want to know all the little details that I have no idea about. And these get grating to some people because like, well, I don't really want to talk about it or whatever. But it is the fact of the matter is he is coming in and he is clearly trying to learn. He's clearly trying to absorb as much information as he can. And given the picture they set the night before where like they don't really want these people talking game, that doesn't help either because David is so clearly here for the information. And by imposing that rule, he is not necessarily going to get much information if he doesn't ask. So when he asks, that bothers some people. And we go on from there.
Yes. And he also, like, David had a couple of interactions with Sis that were just like, David and Sis are the most awkward pair. Because Sis is like, she's very flirty with everyone. And so she's also like a little bit flirty with David, but also you can tell that she doesn't really like him. But also David is like a little bit flirty back, but also really awkward because it's an awkward situation. And so like David will just be like saying something that doesn't make sense and like trying to catch Sis in like a weird lie situation. And Sis will be like, are you trying to F with me? Like what's happening here? And David will be like, no, not at all. I mean, yeah, a little bit. I'm trying to F with you. And she'd be like, what are you doing? Like, what is happening? It's so awkward. Oh my God.
Someone needs to either come into the room or take one of them out of the room. It is very hard to watch.
All right. So, Ovi is going to talk. Many people in the eight today are going to be talking about Cliff, and his little rat status, and they love him. Oh, Cliff, he's been so good. He's been telling us things. We love Cliff. He's on board with us. We want to keep Cliff around as long as possible.
Yeah. Cliff has done a good job in the past week of like kind of figuring out who he needs to talk to and how to formulate his conversation more geared towards them, more appealing towards them. And I think that's been paying off for him because they like him. Like, he's good with them. He is good with them. I think Cliff also understands that he's kind of on the bottom of those totem poles, but it's a good position to be in for right now because none of those people are going to be looking at Cliff for now at all.
So Ovi is going to talk to the cameras a bit. He is fully turned against Jack at this point, but is not willing to show it. And he also says that he would love to come back into the game and target Jack, but he's not going to do that if it's not best for his game. He's not going to like ruin his game for revenge. So that's what's going on in Ovi's mind.
Yeah, I'm kind of getting like Scotty coming back and then being good with Tyler again kind of vibes. Like I could see Ovi coming back and then be like, oh, you know what? Like, we're fine. Like, we really are fine. I love Ovi. I've made this clear last week. I love him. He's great. I enjoy him. But at the same time, I have to call a spade. I don't think he's a great player. I think especially watching David back in the scene now within these last 24 hours, I think David has more of the game instincts that you would want to see. And like, he kind of understands, he has a better read is what I'm trying to get at here. Whereas I feel like Ovi's a little bit blinded. It's really easily blinded when he needs to be.
Yes. I think that if David had not been ejected in the first night, that he would have been able to, you know, because right now it's really the majority of the house is, you know, just kind of like, yeah, this new guy. But if he was there from the start, I think that it would just be a minority of the house that was like, I don't like him for the reasons that we've talked about. And he would be able to fit in with a much wider variety of people. And he would be less awkward because you tend to be less awkward when you fit in with more people. Like, you know, that's the thing about the house sometimes is that you could have like the smoothest operator in the world come into the Big Brother house. And if they don't fit in with everyone else, then they're going to seem awkward. Like, that's just how it works. But I do feel like he would have had potential in that situation. And I do think that as he, you know, he'll have another week here, another week next week to really start to work his way into the house. It's only been, you know, 24 hours since he's entered back into the house. So I really do fully expect that by the end of even this week, I think that he'll have integrated and made some connections with people even outside of just, as we'll talk about, Kat, and maybe a little bit Jess and Kemi. So, you know, I think it'll happen. I think it'll happen for him.
Now, I feel very optimistic with David. I feel really good about him. And from what I'm seeing, I think outside of like the big negative feelings a lot of people have on him, the people that were neutral to him are going to be warming up to him more and more as we go along. I definitely think he's a good presence in the house, and I think he'll be able to work his magic. I'm somebody who, when I first meet people, I'm the silent one. I take a long time to figure out, okay, how are these people? How do I feel about them? Then once I'm good with them, I can't shut up. I'm talking a lot. So it is a thing where he just needs to get used to these people and people get used to him. And I think given that for the next at least week and a half, he's just in this house learning people, getting to work on a social game here, I think he'll put something together. So we'll just have to keep an eye for him.
Yeah. And it's also a weird situation because like he was like eliminated from the house. And so like there's a little bit of resentment there. Like, you know,
yeah.
You guys took me out, and you know, it wasn't all of them, but certainly a lot of them voted for Jackson, and a lot of them had a part in Jackson's decision to put him out. And you know, he's been gone for a week, hasn't been part of it, and he's also like, he's also the guy that fake cried to Aika. Like, there is a little bit of a pot stirrer in him, and I think he wants to be that guy, as he, you know, when he tells people like, I'm incepting you, I'm effing with your mind, and so like all of these things things coalesce together to create this sort of unfortunate situation. But like I said, I do think that that, you know, by the end of the time in Camp Comeback, that he'll have made some connections, because I think he is a smart and an interesting and fun guy. And I think people will eventually start to see that.
Yeah, no, I'm just really happy, Taryn, that for someone who was out day one, we're able to see how he would be in the house. At least we're getting that impression, because I feel like if we had just moved on, never seen David back in the house again, we would have never really gotten to see what he's capable of. And I'm happy to see that he looks like he could be very capable if he's able to find his way back into this. So yes, I'm here for this.
All right. There's also an earthquake.
Mm-hmm.
That happened in California, that the house, they felt a little bit of that. And then as the earth literally quakes beneath their feet, it's time for Jackson to break up with Kat.
Yes, this is going to be the biggest bulk of this this update.
The time has come.
It's time to put an end to this.
He sits her down in the bedroom. Look, you know, it's just we've had some fun. I like you. We're both, you know, we're good friends. It's just that we know I have to disassociate myself from you. It's, you know, it's strictly a game thing. It's nothing personal. No, you know, it's not that I don't like you or anything like that. It's just, you know, it's all game. Personal aside, it's just completely, it's a game thing. I have to Puya, I have to disassociate myself from you. You are, you know, look, I'm never selfish. I have to be selfish for the first time in my life and take care of me and my game. And that's what I have to do here. We have to disassociate. I'm sorry.
Taryn, I just hope it helps your game, Taryn. I hope it helps your game. No, he's like, and like the best part with Kat in the conversation with Kat is that if you don't end the conversation and leave, Kat will ask you or like kind of stay there and you'll have to repeat yourself. So this conversation just kept, he kept finding new ways to say, like, my heart is telling me no, but my mind is telling me I have to do this. I'm sorry. Like, I don't want to do this. I was really excited to like, but then we made a connection day one and now everyone knows about it. So I need to step out. Like, it just kept going on, Taryn. It just kept going on and on. And all Kat can say is like, I get it. I hope it helps your game. And he's like, thank you for understanding. And then they'd go on again.
It's, and also they continue to do the thing that drives me crazy, which is like, talk over each other and like finish each other's sentences where, you know, Kat is just like, oh man, I'm just like, I guess I get it. I guess it's just that I kind of feel a little taken off guard. No, that's not what I was literally about to say. You could have just waited for me to say it. No, it's not that I'm taken off guard. It's just that I'm just feeling a little hurt. Are you feeling hurt? Well, I mean, yeah, you know, that's, yeah, I am. That's not what I was going to say, but yeah, I mean, you know, that's definitely part of it. It's just, you know, I was just really, I was really excited about our together us, you know, you were excited about that, but you know, look, it's not personal. Like I said, it's not personal at all. Don't you? I mean, you shouldn't be thinking, yeah, you know that, but that's not what I was going to say though. Okay. So I was really excited about us working together in a group. I was really excited about the group. That's what I wanted to say is the group. I was really excited about the group we were putting together. I thought we were really making a good thing happen in the game. And I feel like you're now telling me that we're not together, and that, you know, I just kind of don't know where to go and who to work with anymore. And there's definitely this is a veiled threat that I don't think Jackson really even picks up on, that she's basically just like, what you're telling me is that I need to go work with other people, not just be with other people, but work with other. You're telling me this is a game move, so let me show you what a game move is, and I'm gonna go find other people to go work with, and we're gonna work against your group.
Yeah, this was a very, very poor decision and action done by Jackson, in my opinion. Like, you know, I understand that he's probably being driven crazy, but it's his own damn fault. Amon has talked about this, you have talked about how You know, it's his own damn fault. Like, you can't sleep alone. It's your problem. You are the one crawling back into bed with her every night. You have done this to yourself. And then you also don't want to get rid of her because this is someone that is in your pocket. Good. That's sound logic. Sounds good. But now you are essentially putting an end to this and being very, like, you're saying all these things. And it's like, well, why aren't you doing this with Holly? Why aren't you doing this with Sis? Which she brings up Holly, which I actually love. And all this is saying is, they're good. You're not. So you buy. You buy, they not buy. So if you buy, then you go find someone else. Like, that is what you're telling her. And I don't think he fully gets it. I don't think she 1,000% got it. But throughout the day, you can tell that she kind of realizes, you know what? Grasses are greener elsewhere. She's making friends. She's going to be fine. I think he royally messed up because he would have had someone in his corner regardless. And I'm also not saying this as this is completely done. Because with these two's relationship, they can easily just come back and, like, none of this has happened. But I do think this was a big step in the wrong direction for Jackson with letting Kat go the way he did.
Yes, and let's be clear, or at least as clear as my perspective is on this. From my perspective here, this is Jackson is saying this is all game. It's all It's all about the game. There's nothing personal. From my perspective, that's a lie. This is 1,000% only personal and negative 1,000% game because it was terrible for his game. The goal here for Jackson, in my opinion, is that he really just wants to get with Holly.
Yeah,
and exactly. He can't do that while Kat is still all over him. And so he's like, look, Kat, just can you just give me some space over here and then I'll just slide Holly over it. And and that's basically what Kat thinks it is as well. That Kat is like, what's going to happen if you want to, like, are you going to be with someone? And Jackson is like, I mean, me and someone else. I mean, look, I mean, if I go with someone else, I mean, that's got nothing to do with us. You know, it's just totally, up to me and that person. So, you know, it's nothing to worry about for you. And it's like, oh boy.
Yeah, this is going to be a nightmare. And all because little baby Jackson can't be alone for 2 seconds. He can't sleep in his bed alone. He has to be with someone. And now he wants to be with Holly and not Kat. This is going to end horribly for him. I'm telling you, if everything else that he's caused issues with isn't going to be horrible for him, this is going to be horrible for him, too. So it's just bad getting worse.
Yes. And I mean, I hope that the dramatic irony is not lost on anyone that, you know, there were two solid pairs that people were talking about coming into the house in Tommy and Christy and then Holly and Kat, who potentially knew each other before the show and potentially were even conspiring together before the show. And now that they're on the show, they are starting to, like, really come at each other's throats over a guy.
Yeah. Yeah. That is very ironic. It has happened. And they've kind of pushed each other into this position in different ways. Holly's talked about how her and Jackson kind of feel like the parents to a delinquent kid that is Kat. So, like, they're kind of feeling this thing now. But absolutely, Jackson was the divider here. Jackson put a rift in between them.
Yes. So Kat's going to run to Jess, like, right after this conversation and be like, so Jackson just broke up with me. You still handing out Lions cards, swimming thing? What's going on? Unfortunately for her, Jess is later going to say no alliance cards for her. We don't want her in our alliance. She's too much of a wild card. But she is going to explain that she thinks this whole thing was just about Holly. They both think that he just wants to get with Holly. And they also both hate Jack.
Yeah. 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 Checks out and checks out. Again, like, you don't spend that much time trying to sugarcoat your goodbye when it's not for an ulterior motive. Really.
If he didn't want to get with another woman in the house, is he really going to do this?
Right.
It's really bad for his game. Yeah. I don't think so. Now we are going to take a quick break for our sponsors and we'll be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
And we're back. So let's get back to the show. So a lot of people, this has been going on all across the internet, that the name Beth has been popping up and it's really confusing people. So I guess I'll try and clear that up for you now. David forgot what Holly's name was and called her Beth. Now, I don't think we can be 100% sure that this was not intentional, because it was very funny. And it really bothered Holly.
It did.
So now the internet is calling Holly Beth.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. You never let something get under your skin in that house, because if you do, the internet will use it against you. So now you are Beth.
And Beth is a little bit like, it's like a little bit of a dig. It's a little bit of a dig kind of name.
Yeah.
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 It's not like I don't know. What's a really great name?
Oof. What constitutes a great name though? Yeah.
It's not like Kemi's a great name. It's not like, were you Kemi? Like, I think that would be like, oh, Kemi, that's great. No, Beth, just boring Beth.
Just Beth. You're Beth now.
So there you go.
Yeah, so that's Holly now.
So Jack lets everyone know throughout the day, hey guys, no game talk today. No game talk. We're just gonna hang out, gonna take a day off. Everything's gonna be cool. I really wanted to, I know that there's a guy, Taryn, he does live feed updates. I figured I'd give him nice day off from the game talk, which sounded nice, Jack, until all this controversial stuff happened. Making my day off turn into a nightmare. It was a twist. Mm-hmm. Rob says Reem. Reem is a great name.
Yes. Can't argue with Reem. 100%. Yeah, I the irony here, Taryn, that your 4th of July was supposed to be just fun, game free, just a quick hang. And then it became, all right, now how do I explain all this stuff that went on and let everyone know that I feel the pain, but also I don't think this one thing really did. Like, I feel for you, Taryn. I do feel for you, man. Happy 4th of July, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you. So David is going to suggest that they all play in a cornhole tournament.
Yeah.
Everyone grab a partner. It's time to play. And like, I will say, it was a little forward. You know, he's new to the house. Like the way that, like, it was fun. Like the way that he was trying to be like, hey, like, let's all do something. But like, he is the new guy. And so that is a little weird, but they really took it in a whole direction. Christy was just like, he's trying to get us to pick partners, so he can see who we're aligned with. Like it's all part of a master plan.
What is this boy? Is she the witch from Snow White?
He's being evil. He wants us to pick cornhole partners.
Love it. Yeah, no, that's how.
Listen to him. Don't pick a partner. Just choose someone random. You'll throw him off the scent.
He couldn't, like, he couldn't introduce this without anyone getting under everyone's skin, because they all think that he's trying to figure stuff out by doing this. They all assume that he is going to find partners here. He's going to find connections here. He's going to connect dots here. Where I really genuinely feel like he just wanted to play. He's been alone for, like, how long now?
That's what he wants you to think, Puya. That he incepted that into your brain. Don't fall for it, Puya.
You're being naive.
this is going to be the talk of the house for the rest of the day.
Yep. Cornhole drama.
Cornholio. David and Sis are, that's when they have that awkward interaction. I already talked about that. Kat and Holly have an almost conversation. So Kat wants to talk to Holly because she's recently broken up with, and she wants to talk to her girlfriend who she thinks is the cause. And so she goes up to Holly and she's just like, "Hey Holly, can we talk? I really need to talk." And Holly's like, "No, I just don't have the energy for it." And Kat's like, no, it's not about game or anything. It's just like personal. It's kind of serious." And Holly's like, "Yeah, I know. That's why I don't have energy for it."
If it's about anything remotely serious, I'm depleted. I can't do this. And then my favorite part is Kat being like, "Have you taken your daily vitamin?"
Yeah. So I just wanted to, you know, check in, make sure we're good. We're good. We're good. Wow.
They can't even. Like, both her and Jackson are just not making any efforts with Kat at this point, which, again, horrible game move. But was it game? I don't think. I think it's straight personal. I think they just can't handle her anymore. They don't want to handle her anymore. But this is really bad because they're just pushing her away to other people to grab her and take her in, which we are seeing happen right before our eyes, I feel.
Yes, and we're also seeing happen right before our eyes that that paranoid crazy Kat is turning into a hero.
Yeah.
A hero of ages. Did you take your vitamins? She's later going to be talking about how she thinks everyone's being weird about David. He's just a dude. Everyone's being paranoid. They call her paranoid. They're the paranoid ones.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whoa! Kat's woke!
She is woke. She's officially woke now. Yeah. Who would have thought? No one would have thought.
Yeah, if only she wasn't going home in the next 3 weeks.
Yeah. She could be a casualty this week, even.
Yeah.
Maybe. So... yikes.
Nothing turns somebody into a hero more than just constantly being ragged on by everyone.
Exactly.
David is going to talk with Jess. David is going to be trying to work around the no game talk rule as much as possible. He's going to talk with Jess. He's going to talk with Kat, both about how, you know, the people on the... Listen. I'm new to this show, but what I understand is that the people on the outs need to get together and work against the people in the in, right? That's what happened last season. Level 6, what did you want the people not in level 6 to do? Team up and go against the people in level 6, right? And Jess is like, yeah, sure. I agree. That's what we want to do. It's level 6 all over again. We got to do something. It's not going to go too far with Jess. He's going to talk to Kat about it. He's going to say, I think there's a 4-person alliance. It's a 4-person alliance. They're probably looking to expand. So what we need to do is get everyone else together and work against that 4-person alliance. Because look, we're the rest of the house. We outnumber them. There's only 4 of them. Oh, David, you're a week late on this.
Yeah, just
literally the timeline by a week. You don't outnumber them, unfortunately, but you still must gather.
Get everybody on board. Yeah. Now, this is the type of thing that I was talking about where I really liked what I was seeing with David. I really did enjoy seeing him talk about the game and kind of, you know, wake people up. I don't think they're fully awakened. I don't think they're fully understanding, grasping, like feeling this stuff out. Obviously, the misreads with OV kind of continue on, like this whole all women's alliance that everyone thinks is like they're really feeling is not looking too good, but like it's still like, oh, but it could still happen. So like, let's keep going. There's still eight of us to six guys who are like in the game. So that's a thing. So it's sad because I feel like David speaking truth, David speaking stuff that people should notice, but because people have been playing their own game and have been planting their own seeds, like, let me check on these seeds though. Maybe there's still opportunity to sow these. So we're good, but it is a thing to ponder. David could be sitting there saying, I told you so to the next person in that room with him and Ovi next week.
Yeah, I think there are two key parts to why even people like David, who's new to the house, which often gives you a better perspective of where people lie. You know, people new to the house often have a better read on it than people who have been there the whole time. Because when you've been there the whole time, it's almost like when, you know, your hair is growing or you're gaining or losing weight, where it's like what's happening super slowly day by day. You don't notice it until you look at a picture of yourself like a few months ago and you're like, oh, my God, look how much longer my hair is or whatever it is. It's like that's what it is in the house where it's like you quickly become acclimated to everything that's happening. You can't see the forest through the trees. And when somebody new comes in, they're like, there's a whole forest here. What are you doing? But even that is not enough to break through the facade of this full eight of group of people. And I think that there are two things. One is Bella. Bella is a large reason why they are still a secret, because Bella is part of this women's thing. She kind of seems like one of the people not in the eight, but she is in the eight and she's protecting the eight. The other thing is Tommy, because Tommy is good with so many people. Nobody sees him as part of an in-group. They just see him as like, oh, it's Tommy. And his relationship with Christy is very secret and very tight, and that also is holding that eight together. And with Bella comes Nick and Sam, and Sam also helps them a lot as a sort of like unofficial ninth. But it's really, I think it's Tommy, because Tommy has also been the one really keeping them together. It's like Tommy, I love you. You're great, but you're great. You're too great because you're keeping these people together, and it's not even your fault because you came in with a partner that you knew outside and it wasn't your choice to do that, but now you're obviously going to use it to your advantage, and it is the best move to keep them together because of the camp comeback, and that's the producer's fault, but still, Tommy. All right.
You okay, Taryn?
Yeah. They do a slip inside.
Yeah, that happened. That was a thing. I like the one comment I saw online, which was like, they're clearly letting them do this because they need footage of everyone being happy together. Yeah, this is definitely going to be fun footage. At least it was nice to see.
Yes. Kat is going to tell David about everyone thinking that the cornhole tournament was a strategy. And he's like, no, it wasn't.
You want to play some cornhole?
Jess is going to talk to Nicole about how she does not trust Kat very much. She doesn't want to be associated with Kat because she's really paranoid. She's probably going to get put on the block. They both agree they really want to keep Kemi, though. They want to try and keep Kemi this week. So, I mean, in their eyes, it's like, let's get Kat out this week. Like, that's our best hope. And we'll hopefully keep Kemi safe. Of course, Jess not quite realizing yet that she is definitely going on the block alongside Kat or Kemi for the moment. But I do expect that these women will be trying to evict Kat in the event that a veto is used.
Yeah. Because like throughout the start of the day, kind of everyone's thought was, all right, it's going to be like Kat and Kemi with like a just a third option if the veto is used. And then slowly but surely we get to the end of the day and it's like, okay, it's going to be Kat and Jess, because they're like, as long as one of them is sitting there at the end and one of them goes, we're fine. And if the veto is used, Kat will go up at that point. So it's unfortunate because she thinks that she's fine. And if she gets to play veto, she can pull Kemi off. But that's not going to be the case right now. But they do want to keep Kemi. So it does look like Kat, at the very least, we're not going to have a similar situation, I hope, to next week where everyone unanimously is voting out somebody. there looks like there'll be some fighting. There'll be some heavy trying to keep Kemi or to keep Kat from both sides of the party.
Yes, but I would imagine that that everyone will eventually fall in line, especially with
my eviction.
Yes. So they agree with that. Grateful is going to get together and discuss the plan is to nominate Kemi and Jess, vote out Kemi, and put up Kat as a pawn if one of them comes down with the veto. Jack did discuss, like, you know, while he does say that he will, that they should vote out Kemi, he's honestly kind of just like, whatever. Whichever of the two of them leave, whatever, as long as one of them does. And it's just, it's a very straightforward week, I think, we have ahead of us here.
Yeah, which was kind of to be expected once Jack won this HOH. It was very, very clear. Like, I feel like everyone's predictions lined up.
Yeah, well, that combined with Camp Comeback, because he did initially want to do the Nick move, which right. would have been exciting. But no, we can't do that. Camp Comeback.
Yeah. Now you're not going to want to make any kind of move where you have to live with that person for an entire week here. So you're just going to do what was expected of you because that's what was expected of you. And like, it's going to have the least pushback. So there you go. That kind of makes sense there. Also the fact that, you know, as far as Wactivity goes, it's all his people and him. So that's kind of like gone. And then the veto, he still gets to compete. Like, the guy could win all three comps this week. Like, really, this could just be foregone conclusion leading to Thursday.
Yeah. Yeah, we did get a conversation between Nicole and Ovi. They were playing some chess or checkers or whatever it was. They got a bunch of different games up there. And they were talking about the Camp Comeback and the potential competition for them to be getting back into the game. Nicole feels that she's cracked it here in this conversation. She says that, Julie told you to listen carefully. Listen, why are they having you listen at all? And why listen but not watch? Like, what's the purpose of that? Why not just wait, have you wait until we come back in and then see who won? Like, why are you listening? That must be for a reason. And that means that that this must be a competition where they ask you questions about the competitions that you listened in on. And she's like, I think I figured it out. Ovi, like, you got to study this. And then she was like, oh, if I get voted out and you beat me in the battle back, I'm gonna think back to this moment and be like, oh, I should have done that. We cannot tell anybody, Ovi. We can't tell anybody else about this. And then Cliff walks over and he's like, hey guys, what's up? What's she talking about? And they're like, okay, we think we cracked it. We think that it's gonna be questions.
Yeah, not less than a second later, I will give my two cents, my opinion. I don't think that's the case. I think it's just mean as hell to have them sit there and not know what's going on and wait till the results come in. So they're giving them a little bit, aka the audio. They can't give them video because that'll give away too much. So, like, let's say Jack gets eliminated and then they see Nick celebrating. They're like, oh, there's something going on there. Stuff like that will come out. So they're getting audio because, like, that's like the halfway between being mean as hell, but then giving them too much. That's how I see it being. I don't think the competition is going to have anything to do with audio, because also this for television, that would not be a great competition in my opinion.
Yeah. We'll have to wait and see there. And Nicole was so excited, but it did make me think about, like, I think that people overestimate their ability to keep secrets.
Yeah.
Like, you're usually pretty good at, like, keeping secrets. Like, oh, I'm not going to vote you out. Like, it's not hard to keep a secret that's hard to tell, because it's hard to tell somebody that you're going to vote them out. And so you don't want to tell them. And so it's easy to keep that secret.
Yeah.
But it's very hard to keep secrets about, like, oh, I'm throwing competitions and I'm getting away with it. I really want to throw this competition, or like, you should have seen that conversation I just had. I completely just convinced that person to do something. Like, the things you want to brag about, like, I think I just figured out the battle back competition. I think I got it. Like, it's hard to hold that in the house. And that made me think about Cliff and how he's doing his Cliff notes. And I think that I actually think that talking to the cameras can be very good for you in the house, because Cliff is getting that stuff out of the way He's mm-hmm. telling people, he's telling the cameras all of yep. these thoughts that he has the impulse to tell. And it's helping him, I think, keep these secrets around other people. And that's, you know, I never thought of it that way, but that talking to the cameras can be a very useful outlet to prevent you from telling secrets that you shouldn't be telling other house guests.
Yeah, no, it's very important to, because I feel like a lot of what we strive for, we like getting credit when credit is due. And when these kind of things happen, you want people to know it was mine, right? You want that validity. You want that feeling of like, I did a thing. And by Cliff doing what he's doing, he's sharing it with all of us so that he doesn't really feel that inner need to like, you know, have that value. He knows we know. And that's like more people than in the house combined, like 15 million times over. So he's good. He's fine. He doesn't have to worry about that. Whereas other people, yes, when you think you've cracked the code to a twist, you want people to know. I mean, you're not just going to sit on that. You need to be like, hey, you know me, Taryn Armstrong? I'm the guy who cracked the code. Not you. Me. It was me. So that is a very valid thing, I think. I really do think that is a valid concern here, because if you are able to talk to the cameras, if you're able to get it out that way, you are a lot less likely to A, want to repeat yourself, and B, want to have to do it with these people because everyone else knows. So you're fine. Yeah.
So that's that. Then finally, there was one more little conversation here between, I believe it was Kemi and Jess, and maybe Nicole was involved as well. They were talking about, I can't remember the exact combination. They were talking about Bella and how they just basically the basics of this conversation is that they were like, can we trust Bella? You do Nick a lot. Like, weren't we supposed to like get together and talk? Like all at night, all the time. And like, it just hasn't been happening with Bella because she's always with Nick. And they're like, yeah, not sure. I mean, I think it's probably fine, right? Like, so there's just a little bit of cracks forming there with Bella and the rest of the Black Widows.
Yeah. Yeah. With the amount of concern both parties, both sides have had with Nick and Bella at some point here and there, it would be funny if they kind of went on the whole James Ryan and Sarah.
Yeah.
Continues where everyone's like, listen, let's just pause. Let's just get rid of one of them. Let's just put both of them up. That might happen. That'd be fun to see happen, especially because they're doing this. Well, they won't. They are we not kind of thing going on. So the dynamics with them is interesting. I do think what you said earlier about the fact that Bella is keeping Grateful under wraps by helping out with the other side, it's very valid, and it'll be interesting to see if the girls either end up confronting her about stuff or actually saying this stuff to her, get a reaction out of her. I don't know. But so far right now, they're kind of feeling a little bit of like questionability.
Yes. So that's about what we have for you. Unless there's anything else, Pooya, that you needed to or wanted to bring up.
Taryn, I'm really upset, man. You did not bring up the most important crossover of our time with this upcoming veto competition. That is going to be in a world where Bacardi and bikinis, Joe Manses and Vetoes come along. It's Love Island featuring Big Brother. Apparently, they got some kind of promo thing about Love Island, and Winston and Brett maybe would have been involved in it somehow. I think they were in the clips.
And Swaggy and Bailey as well.
Yeah, there you go. Like that whole image we talked about last week, that was real. Oh my God. And the winner of this veto is going to win a Fiji trip. So that's also a thing that's in the mix there now.
Yes. And so they were talking about Love Island all day.
Yes. That's what we wanted.
It's exactly what I wanted after watching all those commercials.
Yeah. You thought it was going to be a quiet day on feet.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. That's what we have for you. I feel like at this point we're advertising Love Island.
I mean, yeah, they are getting a lot of free advertising by, you know, spoon feeding it to us in every commercial and now on the show proper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So that's what we have for you. I will be back, of course, tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern to talk about everything that happens today on the Big Brother Canada, Big Brother 21 live feeds, not Big Brother Canada. I'm remembering fondly Big Brother Canada right now.
Yeah, you're trying to go back in time right now. Get the DeLorean.
So tune in tomorrow morning. And then, of course, Sunday night, we'll be back to talk about the Sunday episode of Big Brother 21. And you can find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn, Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong, Instagram, Taryn_Armstrong. Pooya, where can people find you?
at Puyaism on all major platforms.
Puyaism.
That's the one.
Still love that. All right, that's what we have for you. Thank you so much for joining us. See you next time.
A1 Concrete Leveling is ready to handle all your concrete needs. Leveling, caulking, cleaning, and sealing. A1 Concrete Leveling has you covered. Call 419-864-3698 for your free estimate today. With over 30 years of experience, they are Ohio's most trusted concrete experts. Call them today at 419-864-3698 or go to A1-leveling.com.